Well, this morning we are wrapping up the series that we are calling The Giant Slayer. And it's been kind of wrapped up around this. The simple idea is that Jesus wants us to live a full life. He doesn't want us to live this life having giants taunting us and ruling over us. When he died on the cross, he died and slayed every single giant so that way they don't have to take control of your life. They don't have to keep speaking into your life, and you don't have to keep listening to them anymore. When the crown of thorns was placed on his head and his holy blood started to flow down his face, it started an activity. An activity where he was getting ready to defeat the enemy once and for all. And when he died on the cross, every single enemy, every single giant that is against you was completely defeated. They have no power because of his authority, of his name, and because of the power of his blood. But you and I miss that. We hear the giants and they speak into our lives and they say things like this: "You're not good enough. You're never going to amount to anything. You can't accomplish that. That thing that you have that you've been trying to get rid of, you're never going to get rid of that. I'm always going to be here." And you and I have to start recognizing the cross. The cross is where the power and the authority comes from. The cross of Christ. That at that cross, Christ in one single moment fully defeated them. And they don't have to be the ones that are taunting you anymore. But you and I have to come to that revelation that God has already won the battle. He's already struck whatever you're facing down. And he wants to give you a life of freedom, a joy, and of hope. My favorite verse, and I've told you this many times, and it's my life verse, it comes out of John 10:10. And it says this: the thief is Satan, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. You wonder what the enemy, which is Satan, you wonder what his objective is? He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your hope. He wants you to be defeated. He wants to take away your life and destroy you. But Christ says, on the cross, when I spread my arms out for you and I shed my holy precious blood, I defeated them. He has no power or authority over you. And Jesus says, now this is why I came. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. What's a full life? A full life is a life that is living in freedom. It's living in the hope of Christ. It's living a life that is filled with victories over the giants that you keep facing, because the giants keep coming, don't they? You get this giant out, then there's another giant. But it's living the fullness. It's living in the freedom and knowing you don't have to live under that. And it's knowing that you don't have to coexist your life with that giant. It doesn't have to be there. A full life is experiencing the work of Christ on the cross. And you and I need to start experiencing the full power of the cross in our life. Because I think most of us just go, "I'm forgiven." That's not just it. There's so much more. You have a life that is to be filled with freedom, filled with hope, filled with shining glory to God. When you evaluate your own life, what's it look like? Is it a defeated life? Is it a life that is in captivity? Or is it a full life walking in the freedom that Christ bought for you? You see, I'm a little bit sad that the series is coming to an end personally. Because I love looking at these giants, and I could probably go on and on with this series, because I'm starting to realize that most of my life I have lived with this subtle defeat in my life. I know all the Christian talk. I know that Christ has done all those things. I've heard it just like a lot of you have. But I've never really brought it into the point where I'm walking in the fullness of the power and the glory of God. Where I am saying that giant, it's dead, and when it starts talking, I take the truth of God and cram it in his mouth, and it doesn't talk anymore. For me, there's two giants I've been personally battling with for years, and they just won't leave me alone. But for 6 weeks, they haven't been able to say a single word. And I can tell you, I feel so much better. I feel like there's something burning in here that I haven't felt for years. Because that burning all of a sudden was set on fire because I saw the power and the glory of the cross of Christ. I saw what, I finally recognized what he really did on that cross. We said that in the story of David, that Jesus is David, not us. I was always taught that we're David, we're taking on the giant. Oh, what a relief. Because every time I take on the giant, I lose. Keeps coming up and keeps taunting, keeps destroying me, keeps demoralizing me. But now that I view it through that Christ, through the cross, his shed blood, he has took that giant away. He has silenced the giant once and for all. I'm free. That giant doesn't have to be there ruining me. I got to see a glimpse of the glory of God, of the grace and the peace of God, and then the fire starts burning. I don't know about you. It is good to be free. I hope you will be free. I hope you will step up and start marveling in the work of the cross, the fullness of it, and start living the life that he has for you. You said, "Oh, Kelly, those are just motivational words, right?" Forget what I said then. What did Christ say? "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Or one version says, they may have an abundant life. That's a complete life. So that's what Jesus says that he came in this world to do. If you have your Bibles and you want to open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to head there. The giant that we're going to look at this morning is the giant of addiction. This is a huge giant. This giant, you don't really see this giant in the story, but we see how to defeat this giant because we know this giant is real. When I said that we're talking about this giant of addictions, a lot of you just went to drug addiction and alcoholism. I mean, those are the big ones. Those are the ones that we always talk about, right? They're big. They're destructive. They're dangerous. They demoralize you. They ruin lives. Yes, those are big giants. But I think we miss the little giants because I think there's a lot of people in here that have giants in their life of addiction, and it is completely demoralizing you. And you are not seeing the glory of God in your life because of it. Instead, you are seeing the giant and you're hearing the giant whisper in your ears that your God is not big enough. That the work of Christ was not enough for you. But you got to look at these giants in your life, and they come in so many different forms. I think there's some big ones. You may have alcoholism. You may have that. You may struggle with it. You may have the attitude of going, "I just need to have a drink, just to take the edge off. I need to cover up what's going on inside of here." Or maybe drugs are your thing. Maybe you do drugs. And you know, you just think, "Oh, if I can just have a hit of that joint, if I can have just a little pot, some heroin, some meth, maybe I could have some Molly, whatever it is, whatever your thing is. Maybe you think you need that. That's an addiction. An addiction is this. An addiction is anything that replaces God in your life. An addiction is really an idol. And an addiction does something. An addiction, it covers up something that is going on inside of here. Because there's something in here that is so painful that has happened to you maybe in your past, or you failed, or there's something in here. And then so you're using something else to cover it up. And you have to recognize that that's what you're doing. But these aren't the only addictions. There's a lot of addictions. Some people use prescription drugs. And you say, "Well, that's not a drug addiction. It's prescribed. The doctor gives it to me." Well, you go to them and you go, I got pain. And all you can think about is getting that pain pill, and you really don't have any pain. All you have is pain that's really deep in here. But you're using it to cover this pain. Some of the giants that you might be facing is maybe you're addicted to money. There's a lot of people that money is their focus. I got to achieve more. I got to get more. If I work longer, if I get a better job, and if I can just have enough money, but they really never have enough money. And that's their addiction. I got to have enough for my retirement. I got to have enough for this. Some people are addicted to sex. Oh, can we say that in church? Yeah. There's people that are addicted to it. There's people that have been wounded so deep inside here that they use sex to cover up what happened to them because it makes them feel good for a moment. And in that moment, they think that somebody loves them, somebody cares for them. And then afterwards, they have nothing but remorse and regret. But they use it to cover up something that's really, really deep. Some people are addicted to pornography. You know, this is a plague, not just for men, but it's for women. Somebody emailed me, they don't even go to our church, but they've been listening to the messages online. And they said, I have been struggling with porn for 20 years. And they're just going, I don't know what to do. I have took this giant on. I have tried this. I have tried that. And they said, as soon as you said that Jesus was David, and Jesus went down to the darkest valley and defeated your giant and gave you victory, they said, something clicked. They sent me another email just recently, and they said, 3 weeks, they've been free from pornography. Or that it's been record of 3 days. You see, I want to say to that person, if they hear this message, your giant is slain. You have overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Because his name is above all other names, and it's in the authority of that name that you have freedom of it. But there's something in here that's just hurting. There's something in here that you're craving, so you fill it with this addiction. It could be pornography for some people. It could be, maybe you're this person, you're just addicted to stuff. Probably if I went to most of your homes, you went through your basement, went through your garage, you probably don't even know what's in there, do you? I don't. But we're addicted to it. I just got to have more. I got to have, if I have the latest gun, if I have the latest duck call, if I have the latest skirt, the latest shoes, if I have, I got to have more stuff. It just makes me feel good. You know what they call that in America? And we're so oblivious and we're so naive, stupid. We call it retail therapy. You have to go out and you have to buy more and more stuff. You have to get a cart in front of you and you push that cart down the aisle. You don't even know what you're looking for, but you're looking and looking and looking. You find this. You don't really need it, but hey, it looks good. So you put it in there. Or you don't have to go to the supermarket anymore or any of the stores. You can go online, Amazon.com. How many's addicted to that? It's a sale, right? Makes you feel better. You know what you're doing? You're covering up something that's deeper. It's way down deep in there, and you gotta find it. You gotta identify it. Why do you think Myers and Walmart are open 24 hours? Because of people's addictions to go and get this stuff. Maybe you're addicted to food. Oh, you just said that. You can't get enough. You know, here's what really happens. If you're somebody that's addicted to food, usually you have maybe depression working on you because of something that happened that you've tried to bury. And you go to the cupboard because you're starting to feel down a little bit, and it makes you feel a little bit better because chocolate does make you feel better. Ice cream, yeah. And if I can just have a little more food, it just makes me cover up what's in here. Maybe you're addicted to accomplishment. There's a ton of people like this. They can't wait to accomplish the next thing. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I got to get another job. And now I got the new position at this job. Well, now I can't rest there. I got to find the next job. I got a goal here, a goal here. And I can't stop. I can't stop because that's the only way I feel satisfied. You know what it is? There's something in here that's wrong. There's something deep down inside of you that you got to be vulnerable and you got to surface it. You got to see what it is. A lot of people are addicted to adrenaline. I mean, in our culture, it's normal, right? Go get your Red Bull, your 5-hour energy drink. Just go, 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 go. I got to do these things. That way, if I keep busy and I keep this adrenaline feeling going, I don't have to face this thing that's in there. Some people are addicted to pain. You're saying, what? Who's addicted to pain? Some people are addicted to psychological pain. Some are addicted to physical pain because they're hurting so deep inside because of something that was done to them that they cut themselves. Maybe because they don't feel like they're good enough. Maybe they feel like they've let somebody down. But they're addicted to it because it just covers that thing up. But there's people that are addicted to people. You know it. I can't wait to be around this person. I got to be by this person, and this person. And in fact, if I'm not with that person, I can't wait to get a phone call from them. I can't believe they haven't called me in the last 5 minutes or sent me a text. It's like you're addicted to them. And here's one for you kids that you're not going to like. You're addicted to stimulation. There's a lot of people, not just kids, that are so addicted to having some type of stimulation going on in their life. It's usually called the iPhone. You ever sit down at a restaurant and look around? You ever see the families? The dad's going to click, 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 send, click, 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 send. Oh, hi, how everybody's doing? The waitress comes up. Can I take your order? Oh, we're at a restaurant? Oh, just come back in a few minutes. Click, 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 click. Wife is click, click, Facebook. Oh, I can't believe they're here. I can't believe they're there. Oh, they like my photo. God, that's awesome. And then you have the kids there, you know, they're talking to their friends, going, oh, man, this is cool. They're going to go tubing. Can we go tubing, Mom? And, you know, so they're doing this. And then they got the little two-year-old with the iPad doing this thing. They're playing games. You've seen it. And kids, video games. My kids, I'm almost ashamed to say it, they're addicted. I don't care what they say. I can go in a room and go, hey, it's time for supper. 10 minutes later, it's time for supper. 11 minutes later, because I'm getting irritated. It's time for supper, get off the computer. Click. Oops, sorry, just shut it off. You never said anything. Yeah. But if you count up the hours that kids are truly on their video games and adults too, it's ridiculous. Could you imagine if you spent 10% of that time with God? 10%. You'd experience the fullness of His glory if you did it. So we're addicted to so many things, aren't we? And they come in so many forms. And you can keep going, and I can keep listing them, and because there are so many of them. But in the story that we're looking at in David and in Goliath, if you get the scene again, they're in the valley of Elah. They're lined up to do battle. They have the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on the other side. The giant keeps coming out, taunting and ridiculing them, saying that you're not going to win this battle. I'm the victor. He makes people shake in their shoes, and this little 15-year-old boy comes along, he hears him, and he's like going, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't going to happen. He's insulting the Lord God Almighty. And he begins asking questions, what would happen for the person who defeats this giant? 15 years old. And then the people start hearing it, and then as people start hearing it, they bring him to the king, and it's King Saul. Remember, David was king. He was anointed the king. But Saul was still reigning, and they bring him there in verse 32. And it says, David said to Saul, let no one else lose heart on account of the Philistines. Your servant will go and fight him. Just notice something about David. You notice how he said, your servant? He's humble. David, what we're going to find out, to kill the giant of addiction that's in your life, you have to be very, very aware of who you are. You have to be very aware and very vulnerable. You have to be able to identify the real you to defeat this giant. That thing that's down here deep, deep inside, you have to be willing to take that to God and go, this is me. You need to be able to take it to your best friend and say, this is me. Because it's only through vulnerability that the giant of addiction goes down. Because how do people at Alcohol Anonymous start out? I'm an alcoholic. This is who I am. But for us, it's identifying who we are. This is who I am to God. But I believe in the power of Jesus Christ to defeat this giant. So you have David identifying who he is. I'm just a servant. Think about Saul's perspective for a moment. He's 40 days watching his trained men run back and forth. He's been surveying these guys going, that guy's not big enough. That guy, not smart enough. That guy over here, I don't think they can do it because, you know, they think they're a great warrior, but it's all in their head. This guy, he's big, but I don't think he can take Goliath on. There's nobody here in our camp. Nobody. David comes up and he says, don't lose heart. I'm going to fight him. And then Saul replies, you're not able. You're not able. I mean, those are terrifying words. You're not able. David didn't ever say that he was able. Here's how we can defeat the giant. We start recognizing we're not able. But he is. He's already done it. He says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine to fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting a man from youth. David, this is who you are. You're a little puny boy. You're not a trained warrior. You can't do it. You're not able to do it. And David's like, I know. I'm not able to do it. He's being vulnerable. He identifies, I'm a shepherd boy. I'm nothing. In our culture, he's nothing in their culture. I'm just the youngest little peon brother. I'm okay with that. I recognize who I am. And then this is, he steps up and he goes, but David said to Saul, your servant, again, very humble, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock and went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. I was thinking about that verse. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. What did Christ do on the cross? He went after us, didn't he? He came after us. He pursued us when we were in the mouth of the enemy. When we were on the verge of collapse, he went to the cross and he snatched us out of his mouth once and for all. What an image. We're his sheep, he tells us. And he cares about us. So he snatches us out of the mouth of the enemy. And then he says, when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and I killed it. I mean, that's a 15-year-old boy. That's pretty brave. And then he says, your servant has killed both the lion, the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the army of the living God. And David's already going, I'm not able. And then he goes on and he said, the Lord, not me, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David he's shown us how to once and for all slay this giant of addiction. It's to be very vulnerable and admit what's going on in here. Admit who you really are. And don't cover it up. And recognize that God is able. It's God going in the battle. It's God giving you the victory, not you. You can't do it. He's already done it. Then he goes on, and Saul's like, I bless you. But Saul couldn't stop there with just saying, go forth in the power of God. He had to think about human way. He says, okay, what do we do to make this David guy look a little more better? Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. He says, I can't go in these because I'm not used to them. So David in that moment is going, this is not who I am. This armor that you're putting on me, that's not who I am. I am just a humble sheep herder. I'm not comfortable with this armor. But what is Saul trying to do? He's trying to cover up who David is. He wants to make David look a little more beefy. He wants the giant to be intimidated because there's a sword. But David's like going, that's not me. That's not the real me. That's not who I am. And so David shows us how to be really vulnerable. He says, I don't need anything to cover me up. I'm okay that I'm just a shepherd boy. I don't need to be something in the eyes of people. I can look like a disappointment to everybody because I'm, you know, kind of scrappy. But I don't care because it's not about me. It's about my God. Saul thinks, maybe we could cover him up. And here's what it looks like in real life. You and I try to cover up this thing that's on the inside, don't we? And that's precisely what an addiction is. It's covering up. Covering up the thing that you don't want people to know. You don't want people to know you failed. You don't want people to know that you're struggling with pornography. You don't want people to know that you're struggling with an addiction. You just don't want them to know. So you cover it up and you keep pretending. You keep pretending. But meanwhile, this giant of addiction is just controlling and ruling you. And you cannot see the fullness of the power of the cross because of that giant is your focus. And you don't want people to know about it. so you cover it up. It's not new. What happened in the garden with Adam and Eve? He said God created them. They were good. They're in his image. And it says that they stood before each other and before God naked, and they were not ashamed. So all the guys are going, yeah, let's go for that. Let's go back to that. But they weren't ashamed. Why weren't they ashamed? They had intimacy with God. And then what happened is all of a sudden they had an addiction. They wanted God's power. They wanted God's wisdom. They wanted to be like God. Satan convinced them that God's holding out on you. God doesn't have your best in mind. And so they said, I crave that power, so they sinned. And what happened when they sinned? They became ashamed. And then what did they do? They covered up, didn't they? They realized all of a sudden, oh no, we're naked. And then they put on leaves, and they hid from God. And God came down like he did every single day to have intimacy with them and walk with them. And God goes, where are you at? It's not like he didn't know where they were at. He wanted them to come out. He wanted them to be vulnerable and say, we've sinned. We've done this evil thing. But they couldn't. They blamed Satan. The guy blamed the woman. They were covering stuff. And that's what you and I do. We cover, don't we? We cover it so we don't have to be vulnerable. We don't have to let people see who we are. And David says, you've got to be vulnerable to get rid of this giant. You want to get rid of that addiction, that thing that's just eating you up, and you want to have that healing in your heart, then you've got to go, I'm vulnerable, God. Here's who I am. Here's what I've done. Here's what I'm struggling with. It's yours at the cross. I'm placing it right there. I'm going to let your blood flow over that, and it's done. I'm healed. David goes, I can't. I can't wear these things because it's not me. I'm not used to it. And then it says that he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. Meanwhile, the Philistines, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he's only a little boy, ruddy, handsome, and he despised him. It's like, David, you're just puny. David, you just got a little shepherd's outfit with a little teeny sling. David goes, I know, this is who I am. And it's not about me, but it's about my God. It's about how big my God is. And he says, and then he goes on. He said to David, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David, full of the power of God, continues to go towards this giant. He is not intimidated by this giant. And he says in verse 45, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, or beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David said, this is who I am. I am weak, but my God is big. My God is powerful, and my God is going to tear this giant down. It's by his name, it's by his authority that giant was slain and deliverance was given. Do you believe that in the cross? Do you believe the full work of what Christ has performed for you? Will you let Christ tear that giant down once and for all and give you deliverance? Not just deliverance from the addiction, but deliverance from the thing that's caused the addiction. We got to learn how to be vulnerable. We're not used to that. We don't like that. And the church is a horrible place for vulnerability, isn't it? Because here's what's happened in the past. In the past, people say, I'm struggling with drug addiction. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with alcohol. Or I'm struggling. Well, you put the name on it. And people turned around and judged them and said, you're weak. You're not worthy of God. That is so far from the truth. You are worthy of God because of what Christ did on the cross. You are worthy to be pursued by the living God. We have to be willing to open up and say, this is who I am. We have to be willing to accept people right where they are. It's only when we can accept them can they fully experience sometimes the grace of God, because they're looking for you to say, this is the grace of God. They haven't experienced it. They're looking for you to look at them with love and tenderness and go, we're going to walk with you. I don't care. And then what happens when we do that? All of a sudden they experience the grace of God in the cross. And they start, this fire build up on the inside of them, and they experience healing and peace and joy for the first time. And we have to understand, though, at the cross, God did something. He put Christ in us. It's not you taking on this giant. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory is in you. You don't believe that? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Spirit of the living God is in you, wanting to take on the battle, but you got to go, God, here's what I'm struggling with. I was abused. I was made to feel like I was worth nothing. Here's what's hitting here, God. And I'm laying it down in you at the cross. And I'm going to let you do the finished work that you've already done. I'm going to let you heal. And I'm going to let you renew me and give me a hope and a future and a full life now. But then there's a quick question. And then this verse will be ending. Why does God allow this? Why does God allow these giants to come in and taunt us? He wants to refine us. Did you know that? He wants you to experience the fullness of the cross. And it's only through pain, it's only through some of these things that we can truly experience that. You're saying, oh, you lost me. I don't believe that God could be that mean. I don't think he would give you something so that way you can see his entire glory. Look what Paul has to say on this issue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To keep me from being conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, I mean, he started seeing the fullness of the cross, there is given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Who gave that to him? God gave it to him. Did God give it to him to hurt him? Absolutely not. God didn't give it to cause a wound. But God gave him that so he could see the full power and the glory of God. He could see that God is truly enough. What Christ did on the cross is enough for every one of us. Even that thorn, that thing that feels like Satan is right there just tormenting him. God gave it so that he could see the fullness of the glory of God. And he could walk in it. And he could experience it. And did he like it? He says, three times I prayed. Lord, take it away. Please, take it. But Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You hear that? My power is made perfect in weakness. It's only when you and I recognize we're weak. All weakness is looked down on. Vulnerability is looked down upon in culture and in our church, right? It shouldn't be. We should be weak. We should be willing to admit that we have something broken in us and we need the King of Kings to come in to fix it. And when we do that, it says that his power is made perfect in it. And then Paul says, this is awesome. Therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'm not going to avoid it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to tell people about what's broken in here. I'm going to do it for the glory of God, and I'm going to let God's power rest on me. And that's when he got peace. That's when he got the understanding that God is enough. And then he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about this, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Did you realize that it's only through pain sometimes? And it's only through those giants that have been taunting us that the full glory of God is revealed in us? And the work of the cross is actually shown in us? It's like God is on display. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And then he goes, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, wait a minute, Kel, you read that wrong. For when I am weak, he is strong. Jesus is strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why am I strong? Because it's when I'm weak that I start identifying that Christ is in me and he is my strength. It's when I come to a conclusion that this thing in here has got to go and I'm not afraid to talk about it anymore. And when I take that thing and say, God, here it is. The power of God rises up in you and you're strong, even in the weakness. Isn't it amazing God knows us so much? We keep hiding this thing. Get rid of it. Because you want that giant to go down so it doesn't rule in your life. We have to receive the power of the cross. We have to receive his love. We have to receive his mercy. We have to receive his grace. In the church, we need to start becoming grace addicts. We need to become Jesus addicts. We need to become love addicts of God. In the church, and I've heard it many times, it's a mockery when people say they're a Jesus freak. All they do is they talk about Jesus. They read the scriptures. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They pray, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all they do. And the church people say they're a Jesus freak. Can I just say this? We need Jesus freaks. We need people that are addicted to the glory of God, so people can see the one living God. David didn't go in the valley by himself. David went with the living God. And he says, I want to go do this. Charge at the giant in his power so he can be glorified. When I am weak, I am strong. It's not by my power. I'm going to go walk up on the waters, the spiritual waters. I'm going to go up against the giant, not on my power, but on his power. When I am weak, I am strong. May that be your prayer for the rest of the week. The giants have been slain. You are free from the power of bondage that you are in because of the wonderful blood that was spilled on the cross. Join me in prayer. God, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you came into this world to give us a hope, to give us a peace, and to give us joy. You came in this world, first of all, to introduce us to your Father so we can have a relationship. But you came to set the captives free. You came so we can have a life to the full now. God, help us to live in the cross and what you've done. Help us to experience the freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.